All right. Well, welcome to the pastor's class. Pastor's preaching off elsewhere this morning, so I've been given the duties to bring the Sunday school lesson. So be praying for me. Amen. I've been out of town myself for a few days. I was so glad to get out of here. You know, after being a year, you know, you just want to go somewhere so bad. And I don't think I was gone 24 hours, and I was ready to come home. And my wife kept saying, "But we just left. We just left." And I said, "I know, but I'm ready to go back." And we did cut it short. We did come back a day early. I just couldn't stand it anymore. I had to get back here. We had an opportunity to go to the Sword of the Lord in Winston-Salem. Amen. And it's always a blessing to be there. The preaching's awesome. Brother Bobby Robinson was the host. It's his church, God and Light Baptist Church. And he had just lost his wife a few days prior to the Sword meeting. So that was really burdensome on his heart, you know. But Brother Bobby got up there and preached and did an awesome job. He always does. You can just tell the Spirit of God's all over him. Anytime he speaks, no matter what he speaks on, if he doesn't do anything but just tell stories, it just blesses your heart so much. And so it's always good to be there. But I have to be honest with you. Of all the preaching, like I said, the preaching's always good at the Sword. But I feel kind of guilty because I have to tell you something. It doesn't get any better than it does right here. So, you know, those folks drive for miles around once a year to come to get that kind of preaching, and we have it here every week. Even today, with Dr. Carter not being here this morning, we're still going to have Brother Scotty Drake preaching for us, and what a blessing he always is. You know, God always uses him in a great way. So I feel kind of guilty when I'm sitting up there and there's thousands of people, and I know that I hear this every day. You know, every Sunday, every Wednesday, you know, we just get fed, and we're just so blessed to be here at Landmark. Amen. And I tell you folks, you know, we lose sight of that sometimes. You know, we're here so much, we don't really think about it. We're here years and years and years. But folks, God has really blessed his church. Amen. And God has really used Dr. Carter in a tremendous way. And it's just a blessing to me. And it should be to you. It should be a joy to your heart. Amen. And I pray that it is. And if it's not, you need to get your heart right. Amen?
Amen.
And anyhow, what I want to talk to you about this morning, we're going to look at the book of Romans. We're going to go to chapter 5. I'm probably going to talk about half an hour before we get there, but we will get there. But I had an opportunity to speak to a few people over the weekend and during the week last week. And I find that more and more every day, it doesn't matter where you go, you ask somebody, if you die today, would you go to heaven? Do you know for sure? Are you 100% sure? And even among so-called Christians, I get some of the strangest answers. Now, you know, to me, it's a very simple answer. You know, the answer, Jesus, is all you got to know, Jesus. Hey, you know, you believe in the heart, confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. It's so simple. But the more and more I go out and we see people, we talk to people, and like I said, even among Christians, you ask them that question and they don't know. And that's sad. And I'll come to one conclusion, you know, whose fault is that? It's our fault. Hey, folks, the lost people in the world, they're not getting out the gospel message, amen? Amen. It's you and I. It's the saved. It's the believers. It's up to us to get the message of Christ out. Pastor can get up here and he can preach every Sunday. He can only preach to those who are here or those who are within range of this radio. It's up to us every day of our lives. It's up to us to tell somebody about Jesus. And I just feel like as Christians, there's two things that we have really fallen. We've failed to pray and we've failed to get out the gospel. And both of those things are relatively simple. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be good at words. I'm living proof of that. You know, all you got to do is carry a tract in your pocket. When you go to the grocery store, reach in your pocket and pull out a tract and hand it to somebody. That will spread the gospel across this world. It's just that easy to get the gospel out. And it's sad that among us Christians that we're not doing that. And I know some people argue, yeah, we do. And there are some who's very faithful at that. But look at the world today. It's simple to see that we're failing at getting the gospel out. We're not doing that in which we need to be doing. And the second thing that we're not doing, we're not praying. Folks, I believe in the power of prayer. I honestly do. And if we pray, God answer prayers. But we've got to first pray. And I know that we're not praying because we can see the evidence of that. I mean, we can look around the world today and we can see that Christians have not joined together and we're not praying the way we need to be praying. And that's a little bit about what we're going to look at today. I've had three basic questions that I hear all the time. It's what's wrong with the world today? How bad is it going to get? And how long is God going to let it continue? Those are three things, no matter where you go, you hear people talking about today. How bad is it going to get? I don't know. You know, I don't know how long. How long is God going to tarry? I don't know. Those questions we really can't give a definite time to. We do have an example of seasons. But when will that time be? We don't know for sure. But there's one answer, one question here that I can answer. What's wrong with the world today? That's pretty simple. That's a very simple thing to answer. And it's answered right here in the two chapters before this, in Romans chapter 3, in verse 3 and 10. It says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Not one. And if we look in Romans 3:23, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That is what's wrong with the world today. We live in a sin-cursed world. And it's going to continually to get worse and worse. The Bible tells us that that man's heart is evil continually. And that's going to continue to grow. Every day it's going to get a little worse. It's not going to get any better. But as far as, and I know when people are looking at the television, they're seeing ISIS on there. They're looking at these things. They're talking about Christians being persecuted. Hey, folks, I got news for you. That's never stopped. Amen. We can go all the way back to the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christians have been persecuted somewhere around this world since that day. It's never stopped. Right. It's only because it's on television or because it gets closer to home, then we begin to see it and we begin to think, hey, we may be persecuted. It's never stopped. And look at it in another sense. Persecution is more than just having your head cut off. You know, Christians today are being persecuted on their job sites. How about a school teacher who's not allowed to lay a Bible on her desk? How about somebody that's not allowed to witness to somebody on their job without being fired? Is that not persecution? Sure it is. And one thing leads to another, which leads to another, and it just kind of snowballs. And our problem today in the sin-cursed world that we live in, it reminds me of a story Dr. Carter was telling one time about a monkey. Remember, he was talking about, some of you probably remember this, he's talking about he had a jar, just say he had a jar of peanuts. And a monkey would stick his hand in that jar and grab them peanuts, then he couldn't get his hand out. He had his hand stuck in that jar. And he wouldn't let go of the peanuts. So he was trapped. Well, you know, that's the way a lot of people are today in religion. Right. Hey, folks, they've heard something in the past, something in growing up, some false doctrine, and they've grabbed a hold to it, and they won't let go. Right. And they're just like that monkey. They're trapped. They're imprisoned right there because they won't get into the Word of God, study the Word, and read it for what it says. That's the problem. We live in a dark world today. We live in a world that's full of spiritual darkness. And sadly, it's growing worse and worse. And even among our churches today, we're not getting the gospel out. People are going to Sunday school. They're going to church regularly. They don't learn anything. And you might not learn anything today. But I'm just trying to open our eyes to the fact that it's us. We're the ones who's failing God. We're failing God. God's in the same place he's always been. He's still on the throne. He's still in charge. Nothing's changed. The only thing that's changing is that we're not getting the gospel out. We're not taking the extra step the way Paul did. I mean, the disciples gave their lives that you and I could have this book. And then we're grabbing hold to it today. We're doing nothing with it. And with all the false religions and teachings and heresies that's going on today, the world's like that monkey, and they got their hand in that jar, and they're hanging on to these old things they've heard. And I'm just going to give you a simple example of that. I don't want anybody to raise your hand, but I'm just going to point out something very simple. If I was to ask you this morning, how many animals went into the ark? If you knew the answer to that. Most everybody in here would raise their hand. I'm pretty sure of that. And everybody knows that was two of a kind, the male and his mate, right? See, that's not true. But that's what we've taught. See, now, and that wasn't, we weren't taught a lie. Understand that in Sunday school, when you're a child, one of the first things you learn is about Noah and the ark. And how they went into the ark two by two. That's true. But not two of every kind. But as a child, we grab a hold to that lesson of the two by two. And we hang on to that. But we ain't gonna let go of that. We remember that as a child. And that's what they wanted you to do. But as you grow, it's up to you to get into the Word of God and study and learn. And you build upon the foundation that they've given you. You don't just hang on to it and stay there. But that's what we're doing in churches today. We're hanging on to something that we think is truth, but it's not. Right. And we're just like that monkey. We got our hand in the jar, and we're trapped. Right. And we're stuck right there. We're not moving on. And folks, we got to let go of the peanuts. You know what I'm saying? Amen. We got to let go of the peanuts. We need to lay aside all the myths that we've heard and all the things that we believe. How many of you still believe today that if you touch a kitten, the mama will let it die? You know what I'm saying? These are things that we hear growing up as children. You'd be surprised how many people still believe that. Or if you touch a bird's egg, the mother will kick it out of the nest. But these things just aren't true. But we hang on to those. And that's what we're doing with the Bible. And that's how things are getting so twisted. And when you walk up to somebody who claims to be saved and you ask them a simple question, if you died today, how do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? That's so simple to me. Jesus, the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
That's so simple. But yet we're asking the question, and church people cannot answer that question. And that bothers me greatly. So anyhow, getting back to where I was, the Lord knows that we're walking in a sin-cursed world. It's horrible. It's going to get worse and worse. And today, when we're studying and churches are teaching, they're teaching Jesus plus whatever. Jesus plus whatever. It's not works, folks. It's not Jesus and what I can do. I want you to think about that for just a moment. It's something that's not hardly ever said, but that's almost blasphemy. You know, when it's Jesus plus something I can do, I've now set myself up as a God. I've set myself up as that I can do something that's going to get me to heaven. Folks, we're not gods. I'm trying to remember who it was one day. He was in there preached one night, and he was preaching out of the book of Genesis. And he said that we was formed from the dirt of the ground. He said we were walking, talking dirt balls. Amen. And think about that. Isn't that something to be proud of? We're walking, talking dirt balls. I believe it was Sam Gibb. That's who it was. Who else could it have been? Brother Sam Gibb. Walking, talking dirt ball. I've never forgot that. But that's what we are. That's what we truly are. If you really want to look at yourself for what it is, that's what we are. And yet we want to be so prideful today. We think that something we can do that can get us to heaven. The only thing we can do to go to heaven is trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only thing we're ever going to do. And the answers to those questions right there are so simple. But we make them complicated. And man makes them complicated. It's not the book. It's not the Word of God. It's man that makes it complicated. It says in John 8:12, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And in John 12:46, it says, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." This is the answer, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the answer to all of our problems. The darkness of this world today is because we're walking in spiritual darkness without Christ. The answer is right here in the book. And I want you to notice it didn't say anything here about anything but the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world. It also tells us that in 2 Timothy 3:1-5, the Bible forewarns us of perilous times. And folks, we're living in perilous times. There's no doubt about it. It's dangerous. We live in a dangerous world today. And it doesn't matter what part of the world we live in. As far as I'm concerned, this is still the best. The United States of America. There's no doubt about it. There's dark days over the White House. I mean, it's dark. Amen. Evil is rooting in every aspect of our lives. And there's no doubt about it. We're living in a dark society. But we still have the freedoms today to teach and preach Jesus. And we need to take advantage of every moment and every opportunity we get. Folks, when we walk out of here this morning, when Brother Scotty gets to and we give an invitation, by the way, we're going to give an invitation. So if you're here today and you're lost, you're without excuse, because you're going to be given an opportunity to know the Lord. But when we leave here today, when we walk out those doors, put a smile on your face. There's so many of us that are leaving here and we look like we just left prison. I'm serious. Or we look like we just left a funeral. My soul, is it that burdensome to be here in church? I don't know about you, but I love being here. I can be here. We can have church every day of the week. It's okay with me. Monday through Sunday, we just keep repeating it. I just love being here. And the more Dr. Carter preaches, and the more he hollers, and the more he steps on my toes, the better I like it. You know, I feel like I'm getting more out of the message when you're stepping all over me. You know what I'm saying? When you sit here and they're not stepping on your toes, and they don't preach against sin, and they don't preach against anything anymore. Right. I mean, hey, I like to hear that. I need that. I don't know about you, but I'm still stuck in this sin-cursed body.
Right.
You know, I'm saved by grace, and I thank God for that.
Right.
But I'm still in this fleshly body. I'm still human, and I need all the preaching that I can get.
Right.
I need all the spiritual guidance that I can get. Hey, I fight this flesh every day.
Right.
Folks, let me tell you something. I walked in this world for 47 years in the way that I chose to, doing what I wanted to do the way I wanted to do it. And that's not easy to get out of. When the Lord called me into the ministry, He changed my heart. I used to hate people. That's the truth. I didn't have a friend in the world, didn't want one. I didn't like people. I'd go home with my wife and my puppy, my mama, and I was happy. That's the truth. Any one of them will tell you the same thing. I did not want people. I did not need people in my life. I didn't want anything to do with anybody. But when God called me into the ministry, He changed my heart. Hey, and I was saved. I got saved when I was 12 years old. It's sad that it took that many years to get a hold of my heart, but it did. So, you know, we need to be kind towards others sometimes. You know, maybe they got the same problem I had. I was hard-headed and stubborn and mule-headed. I mean, it took the Lord a while to get a hold of me. But when He got a hold of my heart, He changed it. But I still struggle with the flesh. See, when I'm out here working during the day, see, I still have a tendency to want to do things the way I used to do them. See, I want to run things around here at the church like a business, you know. And that's not right. And it's still hard for me to comprehend that sometimes, because it's all about the bottom line, right? We're wrong. It's not. It's about brothers and sisters in Christ, and we're working together, and we love one another. So we do things a little differently here, but I still struggle with that. I still have to fight that every day. And I'm just trying to say, folks, when we leave out of here, put a smile on your face. Be happy that you was in God's house this morning. Be happy that you had the opportunity to be here in the Lord's house this morning.
Amen.
I'll tell you what, the way it's looking, it might not be too many days before we're not able to congregate together. I mean, it might become a real battle right here in this country. I mean, they are fighting. Satan is fighting. He's doing everything he can to shut us down.
Right.
He don't want us preaching the gospel. He don't want us telling the world the truth. I mean, look at the world today. It's horrible. So for you and I to have the privilege to come here in God's house this morning, and by the way, I call this God's house because we're the church.
Right.
Everybody sitting in these pews this morning, that's the church.
Right.
And that church is wherever it congregates.
Right.
This building that God has given us is a great facility, and we thank God for it, but it's just a building. This is the church right here, the temple. And we need to remember that, and we need to come together on Sunday mornings. And we need to come into the Lord's house and appreciate what God has given us.
Amen.
Hey, folks, I see people that are every day that's down on their luck. They've got problems in the world. And all they need is a hand up.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll walk right by them. Looks like that Good Samaritan. We walk right by them.
Right.
We need to stop walking by people. We need to take a moment, stop, pick them up, bring them to church with you. Well, they smell kind of funny. That's all right. So do you. It's all good. Hey, we've all been there is what I'm saying. And when we got to get back to the basics, the simple things. You know, sometimes we get so far beyond ourselves that we think that we've become something that we're not.
Amen.
Folks, we're just sinners saved by grace. And it doesn't matter whether it's Dr. Carter or right down to the one who cleaned the toilet here yesterday.
Yeah.
We're all sinners saved by grace. And we need to get a hold of that and remember that.
Amen.
When we come in the Lord's house, we need to be happy that we're here. And we need to leave here with a smile. Act like you enjoyed it. I mean, we come in here and we act like it hurts sometimes. And it shouldn't be that way. And when we go to sing a song, would you do me a favor this morning? Would you sing?
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't care if you can sing. I didn't ask you, can you sing? No, I asked you, will you sing?
Right.
There's a difference. I can't sing a lick,
right,
but I holler. Hey, let me ask you something. Who are you singing to?
Lord.
To the Lord. If you're singing for yourself, you're singing for the wrong reason to start with.
Amen.
We're supposed to be singing unto God.
Right.
We're supposed to be raising up our Lord in praises and hymns.
Right.
Hey, that's what we're supposed to be doing this morning. So when Brother Scotty gets up here, right before we get up here to preach and we go to sing, sing.
Right.
It makes such a difference.
Yes, sir.
I don't know. If it doesn't bother anybody else, it bothers me. When I'm sitting up on the platform and I see three people with a songbook and two of them singing.
Yeah.
I mean, really? Come on, folks. We're in God's house. I don't know about you, but when I went to the Sword up there, by the way, see this little pin right here? My wife bought me that. I got all over her for spending all that big money. $1.25. Told her, wasting our money buying stuff like that. You got to keep them women straight. But hey, the preaching's great up there. And when they go to sing, I saw the same thing. We got 4,000 people in the building and 500 singing. It really breaks my heart. Yeah, we're all Christian people. When we get up there, they're all preachers and pastors and pastors' wives, evangelists, and yet they're not singing unto the Lord. Folks, we got to get a hold of some things. If we want to change the problem of what's wrong with the world today, it starts right here.
Right.
It starts with you and I.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, the answer lies in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you and I aren't going to smile, and if you and I aren't going to spread the gospel, then I'd like to ask you, who's going to?
Right. Yeah.
You know that's the question. Instead of saying what's wrong with the world today, we should be asking the question, should be, what can I do about it? What can I do to make a difference in this world? And it doesn't matter who you are. You say, well, you know, this is the excuse I hear all the time. I can't get around very well. But they all make it to the grocery store, amen?
Right.
Hey, you don't have to go out and run up and down the neighborhood knocking doors. Go to the grocery store. Hand out a tract.
Right.
Tell somebody about Jesus right there in line. They're not going anywhere to go pay for those groceries. It only takes a few moments. But we can make a difference by doing that, one person at a time. That's how I got saved, folks. I got saved because a man named Joe Smith, I'll never forget him. Joe Smith took a few moments of his day to tell me about Jesus. And I got saved. I went to church to be baptized. And my father, at the time, the entire neighborhood was scared of him. He was mean as a rattlesnake. And he didn't exactly live right, but he came to see me get baptized.
Amen.
He got saved.
Amen.
See, because one person took a few moments to tell me about Jesus, my entire family become saved.
Amen.
It wasn't but a month or so. He was out working the bus route, driving the bus, and done it for years. That's the truth. And see, that started because a man in the church. It wasn't a preacher. It wasn't a deacon. It was just a man in the church. Took time to tell me about Jesus.
Amen.
That's how it starts, folks. Just one person at a time. But it's you and I that has to make the difference. We can't stand it. We can't come in here every Sunday morning and expect Dr. Carter to meet and lead everybody to the Lord. It doesn't work that way. That's the way we want it to work, but that's not the way it operates. God uses each and every one of us as instruments. He uses each and every one of us. All we got to do is allow him to do that. We have to open our hearts and give our lives over to him. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. If you live like the devil, Monday through Saturday, and come to the church house on Sunday, don't expect that you're going to go knock on your neighbor's door and he's going to listen to you about Jesus.
Yeah.
It's probably not going to happen. This is why the preacher's all the time preaching on standards. For years he's preached on standards. Do you really think he cares what you wear? I mean, honestly. No. It's standards. You know, where did they first begin to call us Christians? In Antioch. You know, the Christian didn't name himself. We didn't call ourselves Christians. The people in Antioch, they called us Christians. Why? Because they lived a separated life. They lived different from the other people. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I don't know how much different they had to live to be noticed and for somebody to actually call them Christians, but they must have lived a pretty godly life. They must have been living for the Lord. I'm sure that they were dressing properly, and I'm sure they were talking properly. I'm sure they were acting properly. For them, for the outside, for the world to look at them and say they're Christians. I don't know about you, but that's the way I want to be. That's the way I want to live my life. I want somebody to be able to look at me and say, that's a Christian. I find it sad that when I go to Walmart, and I've heard this many, many times, walking into the door at Walmart, and I see one of our college ladies walking in to Walmart, and you hear people say, they're from Walmart, or they're from Lamart. Well, that bothers me. That shouldn't bother me. I'm proud that they say, hey, they're from Lamart. But it bothers me. You know why? Because I feel like they shouldn't know what church you're from. They should say that they're Christians.
Right.
But see, they say, oh, they're from Lamart. See, I think every church should have a standard. I think every church should want to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just Landmark.
Right.
But any church that adheres to this Bible right here in my hand. Any church that believes in God Jehovah. I believe that everybody should hold to those standards. And that's what's wrong with the world today. That's why we live in the world that we live in. Because we don't do anything to change it. Folks, if we want people to come in here and get what we've got, then show them what we've got. Walk out with a smile on your face. And when you bring a visitor in, visitors come in here and you don't sing, you're standing beside them. Seriously. Sing. Be joyful. You should have a joy in your heart for the Lord Jesus. I don't know about you, but I've never got over it. I got saved. I can remember getting saved when I was 12 years old. I can remember it just as if it was this morning. I can still see myself getting my little self up out of that chair and walking down that aisle. And I know that I wanted one thing, Jesus. I wanted to be saved. I'll never forget that morning. I didn't want to go to hell. I wanted to know about Jesus. I wanted to know what I had to do to go to heaven. And that's what I did that morning. And I've never forgotten that. And we should all be that way. We should have the joy of the Lord in our hearts. And we should want to do more for the Lord. We got to move on. We're not going to get anything in the scriptures here. And I was worried about using up all the time. All right, Romans 5:1. That's where we're supposed to be this morning. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to notice the first word there is therefore. That's kind of like because of. If you refer back to chapter 3 and chapter 4, in chapter 3, he was teaching that we're all sinners. We're all sinners in need of a God. We need to be saved. And in chapter 4, he was teaching and explaining how Abraham was justified by faith. He was saved by faith, just like you and I are today. I hear so many folks today in the world, they're talking about saved Jesus plus their works. Abraham was saved just like you and I. Abraham in the Old Testament was saved how? He believed. He believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness.
Amen.
And by the way, righteousness, when we say righteousness, when we get saved, when Abraham got saved, it did not make us righteous. You didn't get a hold of that.
Right.
It's the Lord's righteousness,
right.
Not mine. I'm still in the same sin-cursed body I've always been in. My righteousness is that of the Lord Jesus,
Amen.
Not my own. And boy, we forget that sometimes. There's too many of us that's too self-righteous.
Right.
Hey, I'm the same sinner I was before. I'm saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
It says right here, therefore, being justified by faith, not by works. It doesn't say by works. It says by faith. We have peace with God. You understand, by being justified, by being, it means to be redeemed. It means to be saved. It means to be released from those sins. Pardon, we get a full pardon. All those sins are washed away under the blood of Christ. And because our sins are washed away under the blood of Christ, we are now back with peace with God. You know, the Bible teaches us that when we're lost in our sins, we're enemies with God. And once we're born again, we've been justified, we're now back in talking terms with the Lord again. That goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden when Adam lost. When Adam sinned against God. When he sinned against God and he lost fellowship in the garden with the Lord Jesus Christ. That sin was passed to you and I. When we get saved, we're bought back. We're redeemed back to the Lord again. We're now back on terms with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're now able to go before the Lord. I was going to take you back to the Genesis and show you. I'm going to anyways. We got a few minutes. Go to Genesis chapter 5. I'm doing this mostly for the folks on the radio. I know people in here know the Lord, and I know you're saved, and I know you know the answers to the questions that I put before you this morning. But there's thousands of people out in the world today that can't answer these simple questions. And we get confused on some of the simplest things. But I want you to look at chapter 5 and verse 3. It says, "And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness, after what? His image, and called his name Seth." See, folks, we all like to say, "I was created in the image of God." What does this say? We're all descendants of who? Adam. Adam's son was created what? In the likeness of Adam. What's the difference? Well, let me explain something to you. Jesus was perfect. Amen. Adam was created perfect. When Adam was created, there was no sin. He had no sin in his life. He was created perfect. You and I have inherited the sin curse of Adam. We was created in the image of Adam. In his likeness, we're born sinners. We're born sinners. That's why a child, when a child gets up to be about 2 years old and starts to talk, first thing he'll do, lie to you.
Right.
Yeah. Do you have to teach it to lie? No. That's the sin curse. We've inherited from Adam. Adam was the first Adam. He fell in the garden. He sinned against God. But he was created perfect, like our Lord Jesus Christ. He was a picture of the one to come. He was a picture of the Lord Jesus. Adam sinned freely. Adam gave his life for his bride. Just as Jesus is going to give his life, or he gave his life for his bride. Hey, folks, and I don't know how long it's going to be. I don't know when the trumpet's going to sound. But Jesus is coming to get his church.
Amen.
Hey, he hadn't forgotten us. And he's still in control. He's still on the throne. And as bad as things get, and when you turn your television on, it's horrible. We live in a bad, sad world. But it joys my heart. As bad as it is. I'm telling you something, folks. I'm country. I love America. I thank God that I grew up here, and it breaks my heart that I see these youngins today that can't grow up in America that I grew up in. But at the same time, it thrills my soul because I know we're another day closer to the trumpet. And how long is he going to let it go? I don't know. It's not going to be long. It says that the Bible teaches us that it's going to be as in the days of Lot. And folks, we're there.
Right.
We live in a horrible time. We live in a time of homosexuality. We live in the time of whoredom. Everything that was happening and occurring in the days of Lot is occurring right here today in America. So I honestly believe, the trumpet's going to sound. I believe it's going to sound soon. It can't sound soon enough. If it sounds before 12 o'clock today, it's okay with me. And we should all be praying for that. But until it sounds, we need to be busy for the Lord. We need to stay focused. We need to give up some of the things that it speaks of in 2 Timothy. You know, we need to give up some of the worldly things. We need to have less pleasure in the world and more pleasures in the Lord. We need to give our lives to the Lord. We need to surrender. We need to sell out to God 100%. And it's not easy. But how easy do you think it was for the Lord Jesus to hang on that cross? But he hung on a cross in your stead. He died that you and I may have life and have it more abundantly. He's the light of the world. It's up to us to make a decision. And I'll tell you, folks, I'm worried about a lot of folks. When I ask somebody who claims to be a Christian, if you died today, would you go to heaven? And they can't give me a direct answer, I worry about them. Amen. I ask that you search your heart this morning. Are you saved? Can you answer that question without help? Are you 100% sure? If you're not, then I ask you this morning before, hey, we're going to give an invitation at the end of church. When Scott, Brother Scott, he gets through preaching. And if you're not 100% sure, I want you to come down here and get your heart right with the God. I want you, before you walk out that door this morning, I want you to know. I'm telling you, I believe the trumpet's going to sound, and I believe it's going to sound soon. I'd be surprised if we get out of here, if we don't get out of here before the summer's over. Honestly, I really believe that. I believe we're living that close to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're in this building this morning and you're saved, praise God. I'm glad you're saved. But if you're not living right or just something you need to change, come down here to the altar and get on your face before God. We don't take advantage of the things God's given us. It's such a privilege that we're able to come down here to the altar and give our troubles to God, and we don't do it. Right. Hey, we hang on to them. We grab a hold to our troubles and we carry them around with us, and we shouldn't be doing that. We need to come down here and give it to the Lord. Pride goes before destruction. Well, we hang on to our pride, something, don't we? It's easy to point fingers at the world, but look at yourselves. How much pride are we holding in here? If we want to first do something for God, it starts right here with us. We got to get our hearts right with God.